Scorpions Avenue. If you wanna be my friend, you had better go and get a pen. And maybe we can keep in touch, like they did in the old days. It was so long ago. And I wish you well.
Rory, should we re-rack it?
Can I re-rack it? Let me say something before you re-rack
it. I'm going to say it.
Something I think that is very therapeutic is when people hit a point in their lives where they're willing to just fucking sing and they just don't give a shit anymore.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I'm not, for anyone who's not there yet,
it's okay.
I'm not even blaming you.
No.
God, I probably just got there 2 years ago. But
yeah, right.
I will say, when you do get there, oh, it is sweet bliss. Mm-hmm. Daniel, re-rack it.
Get those mics off if you want to join in. Because
capture.
Here we go.
You better go and get a pen.
We can keep in touch.
Maybe we can.
It wasn't so long ago. And I wish you well.
Should we perhaps
here we go.
Hold your breath.
Lungs.
Make a wish. Count to three.
And let's go to the letters.
Ooh, Rory, I love it.
It's kind of it's good for October, maybe.
I think it feels great.
It won't live forever, but I like it.
Oh, I love it.
God, I like it.
Some more of it. I'll sing a whole Tim McGraw song. I don't care.
I love it when you have a guest on a podcast where you have things set up that you just do consistently and they have no clue what's going on. I've been in John's shoes before, right?
Yeah, we've all done.
I do the Willy Wonka thing. He's like, okay.
We've all done Todd Glass's show.
What's the Willy Wonka thing?
That's how we go to the letters. We switch it up.
Oh, no, I know what you're saying. Yeah. I was expecting a anyway.
Oh, he retired it.
We've retired it.
I don't think you should have retired it.
He didn't.
Let's take it back at a retirement.
He didn't like holding his.
Let's do a tribute to it. Let's do a tribute at least.
Who is it? Me or you?
It's you.
Is it me? God, I love the Daniel.
Well, tell John you're not going to do his tribute to his.
I'll
face.
Do the tribute.
No, don't do it. Make the alien do
you
it.
Should do
I'm
it.
Not going to do it.
You should do what's comfortable. That's what I think. But you should also do it.
He won't do it, Rory. Rory, ask him again.
No.
Let's go to the letters!
Well done, alien.
Your Chicago Bulls. Just so everyone knows, when John joined us tonight, he was watching Game 5 of Jordan versus the Trailblazers in whatever 1990 year that was.
But I had to. Then I waited a long time for you to find Dave, so I started watching the New York Knicks, 1992 Game 7.
All right, here we go.
I love it.
Dear pen pals, hashtag love you both. Everyone is having a hard time, but goddamn, if going through a breakup in the middle of a socially distanced world isn't difficult. Ooh. Stuff. Quick check. Is this person with us tonight? Dunstan?
That's sad.
Dunstan, you here? If you are, just unmute. Say, yes, I'm here, and it's okay. Dunstan's not here. Here we go.
Okay.
But goddamn, if going through a breakup in the middle of a socially distanced world isn't difficult stuff. Technically speaking, we broke up before the pandemic, but it wasn't a clean breakup, and we kept finding ourselves back in each other's arms. When things hit the fan in March, we decided to provide each other company. Not a great idea, according to the internet. I tried really hard to make things work, and I think she did too, in her own way. But we finally hit a breaking point a couple of months ago, and now I'm back to the single life again. I initially went through incredible sadness and then more anger than I am used to experiencing, and now I'm achieving a certain level of stoicism about the whole thing. She still comes to mind more often than I would like, but I feel like I'm starting to do a little better. How have y'all dealt with breakups in the past? Do you have any proven strategies to get the ex out of your head? For context, I have almost always maintained friendly relationships with my exes, but this is the first one that I have pretty much deleted from my life completely. For the first time, I feel like I would eternal sunshine myself if I could. Related, whoa. Do you go with empowering music? My friend suggested Lizzo, or do you tend to wallow a bit? We all know how I stand. Mm-hmm. Wallow a bit. Thanks, Elliot Smith and Sharon Van Etten. And with that, I'll leave you with a song for the playlist, Don't Know How to Keep Loving You by Julia Jacklin. Thanks for keeping me laughing in the midst of all this nonsense. I can't wait to see you cackling idiots in a few hours. Cheers, Dunstan. Now, so everyone knows, this is Dunstan. He wrote us this live letter. We didn't know if he would be here tonight or not. He has been available in the past, but either way, I think this is I liked this letter and picked this letter because I feel like a lot of people can maybe relate to the fact that in this intensely insane, crazy fucking period in history, mm-hmm. There are going to be slightly more dramatic things that occur, like a breakup. Like this, there's going to be senses of loss, no matter how you look at it. Even senses of loss of like social activities and friendships and breakups and
death,
what have you. And I think it's interesting to note, maybe just for some people, perspective, how to look at it, how to potentially deal with it. But the main question is here: how do you deal with a breakup, and which direction do you go? Now we all know. I wallow on the bathroom floor to Damien Rice.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Just
that's smart. That's very smart.
That's very smart. Yeah, that's smart.
I like that. That's a really good idea.
That was, John, that was me right before I met you. I went through a breakup and I wallowed on the bathroom floor to Damien Rice. Mm-hmm. And I just got into Damien Rice. And I was like, you know what? This is the vibe. This is the vibe that's right now. And I just went down that road.
You got to follow it. I mean, that's the instinct. You know, you're craving something, you eat it. You want to wallow in a certain way, you wallow in that way. Yeah. What was it like on that bathroom floor? What was it like? Was it cold? What did it feel like?
It was cold. It was, you know what I think it is? I don't know that it has to be a bathroom floor. Maybe there is something about the nudity of it, the pre-shower or the post-shower. Yeah. I really truly can't remember which one it was. But they're obviously the cool floor. But I think there's something about being completely naked and letting this thing out. You know what I mean? And I think what makes it so hard is that you don't know what that thing is. And I don't know that it's just like, oh, it's love or it's the relationship. But I think it's something you didn't know was there. If you haven't really been in a relationship like that before.
Well, I think we've given Dustin his answer. That's beautiful, Rory. Thank you for sharing. Get naked on the floor. Make sure it's cold. Yep. Listen to whatever music you're into at the moment. Well, I mean, my advice would be like... I would say to Dustin, I mean, who knows? Does anyone really have the right answer to these things? I mean, matters of the heart.
I don't think there is one. Yeah.
I do, Rory. I do. And I'll tell you what that is. I think the only correct answer is it's nice to know you've found the love of your life. And sure, they're gone now. But you can now live the rest of your life knowing that you had it.
Yeah.
I mean, next letter. Let's move on. That's great.
Rory,
what's
the question that he asks in that? How do you?
So his question was,
he's saying this is his first time, like he told you deleted somebody. And Dunstan, I can't wait to see you.
Yeah.
I hope it's helpful.
How have you all dealt with breakups in the past? Do you have any proven strategies to get the ex out of your head?
I think it's just time, baby. Right.
Yeah,
I
mean, you got to let that sundial just.
You've got to create.
You
have to create more. Eventually more memories without them than memories that you had. And that's the only way that's going to get balanced out in your brain, I think.
Or, yeah. I mean, join a cult. Like if you're vulnerable, now's the time to find that new way of thinking about the world. That's good. Yeah, I know. And for good reason. you know? Maybe pick up a guitar.
So I was listening.
Get into botany, collecting plants and things like that.
I mean, all these are legit though. But you,
my girlfriend has 37 plants in this house, and that's totally healthy, right? So I think that's what someone should do, get a healthy hobby like that.
I would love it if you said that she has.
She calls
them
it a hobby too, which is weird. Isn't that weird?
Well,
what?
She calls gardening 37 indoor plants. She's recreating the outdoors inside our apartment.
You're living that Jumanji.
Well, you're not supposed to be going outside. Yeah. She's doing it right.
Yeah.
Well, she might as well live outside. It's at least the sky waters your plants for you.
Sometimes.
Like when she goes away, I have to water the plants. And that's where I take issue with it being a hobby, which is ridiculous. Yeah. Because it's not like when I go away, I don't come
is
back.
Is she on this live? Is she watching this?
No, she's in the house. You want me to get her?
No, I wish to God she was just standing in that window to your right.
She's right here. Christina, get in. Oh, she won't even come in.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
Well, she knows you're ripping up her plant life.
But I think like that thing of like deleting a person is the hard thing, because in many ways you're going to feel like they died. Like it's going to feel like a major loss. And even if you ended up realizing like this isn't going to work out, you still have to go through the grieving process of like, yeah, but it didn't end up being what at one point both of us wanted. And I think that like literally like there was obviously some tongue in cheek there from our beautiful lover, John Doerr, but like, yeah, I wouldn't say a cult.
Not
but
really.
But taking on some
pretty
like,
sincere with what
don't
I said.
Do the, not the cult thing, John. Don't, because it usually goes down a bad
name
road.
Name me a bad cult. Name me three bad cults, and you've won.
Look,
you
not even just.
I'm
going to
be honest
you
with you. I can't
one.
Name one bad cult, but that doesn't mean that they don't exist. So
that's true. You're absolutely correct.
So like having
Wait,
some sort of
that there are bad cults.
Yeah, I can't name any, but having some sort of, whether it be a hobby or love of indoor plants or something that takes up some more time in your life, is kind of what you have to fill in the void. And I think that like trying to do that is more important initially than how you necessarily feel about it. Like just tell yourself physically, I'm not going to text that person. That doesn't mean your heart and your soul and your mind doesn't want you to do it, but just making that physical decision of like, I just can't speak to them anymore. And then allow yourself that time to grieve. And I mean, I'm pretty sure Dunstan was part of our pre-show hang last month. And we talked about songs and I played Gonna Move. And I think you recommended a song as well. Cause he was like, what are some songs that aren't about heartbreak, but about like empowering, like moving forward type music.
I
the
think
the Cheers theme song's pretty good.
100%. Because when you're dumped, you do want to go where
I would listen to just 80s TV theme songs.
Night Court is a good one. There are a lot of 80s theme songs.
You know what a good 80s theme song? Perfect Strangers. So good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So good.
My Two Dads is a good one.
Sometimes
Family Matters is a great one. Obviously, Full House is another great one.
Yeah.
TGIF.
Empty Nest. Step by Step. Great theme song.
Empty
Growing
Nest.
Growing Pains was a great
Growing
one.
Growing Pains. I just say
Family Jeopardy. Ties.
Family
Jeopardy.
Ties.
Family Ties was good.
Jeopardy.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would you do, baby?
Can I just say, can I say the ultimate answer?
Golden Girls, yeah.
I think what's so interesting about a topic like this, where someone says, how do you get the ex out of your head? Is that, and John, while before his answer of really defending cults, he did say time. And the truth is, there isn't really a better answer than time, because I don't know that there are specific activities. I don't know. You can keep yourself busy. You can do tons of things, but the flashes in your mind and how you connect to them emotionally are going to be riper the closer you are to the breakup. And it's only time that makes those flashes come across your mind, and you emotionally don't feel the same way as you used to, because you sort of can't remember what it used to feel like, well, or you're so far removed from it because of time that you don't know. You don't feel the same way as you once did. And it feels cliche. And I think I think there's a part of us that hates it as an answer, because it is so simple. We almost want to say more and be like, this is do this and think about this or try this. But the truth of the matter is, simply put, as John said, it's just time. There's nothing you can do. It's just time.
I think also
buy a motorcycle, drive it really fast down the coast highway. That's also a great suggestion.
And it takes,
after what Rory said.
And it takes time.
That'll speed it up.
What do you guys think?
And that
of,
takes time.
What do you guys think of the idea of like, in that moment of being like, this is why we broke up. Like, this is why this didn't work. Writing a letter to yourself that says, this is why I didn't love that person anymore. Or this is how they mistreated me. Or this is how they made me feel, or this is the way I felt about them, or this is why I didn't feel loved. And then as time goes on, sometimes we also get like rose-colored glasses about how things were. You have that letter to say to yourself, no, this is exactly how you felt, and this is why it didn't work, that you can go back to. Like, I think one thing I was going to say earlier too is I was listening to like this, I think it was This American Life, but you know that, I think, was it Mary Lou Henner? Is that her name? Renner? I don't remember. Hi, Ellen.
Renner?
She has like that memory. She has that memory where she can like remember everything from every single day. Mary Lou. She's from Taxi.
Oh, wait, who?
I thought you were talking about you're not talking about the U.S. gymnast, are you? The Olympic gymnast?
No.
Who is that?
I don't
know. Are we talking about Mary Lou Retton?
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Mary Lou
Henner. Mary Lou Henner.
Mary Lou Henner.
Thank
you, Matt
Wendorf.
So
I can't take credit.
Mary Lou Henner was the Olympic gymnast. That's right.
Okay.
Henner. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so she has like one of those memories where she can remember everything from every single day. And there was another woman
Mary
who
Lou
had
Retton.
This.
Yeah.
And her husband had passed away. And they asked her, like, do you ever think you'll remarry? And she goes, I can't. Because one of the things that helps you get over loss of a person is you forget the way their hugs felt. You forget the way they smelled in the morning. That you forget the way their hand felt in yours. You forget the very first time you met. And she was like, I don't forget any of that stuff.
What a gift and a curse.
Yeah,
yes. So she said, I can't have loss.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't ever have like, I can't come back from it because it's always super fresh in my mind that their memory is right here and it debilitates
them. At the same time, Dan, though, she is able to constantly remember every gold medal she won in gymnastics. So that's good, you know?
Yeah, but
and that's the kind of commentary you're going to get from someone who has a leather chair outside like that.
You're going to get...
That is the most comfortable leather chair I've ever seen.
Not remembering is also a good thing.
I agree.
Or not forgetting is also a good thing.
That's why I think it's a gift and a curse.
Yeah. You got to go through it.
Look at the alien behind me.
Mm-hmm. What's he got to say? He looks like he's
disappointed. Does he look more judgmental now?
Yeah.
Does it look like he wants to participate? Or he's passing
now
out?
Now he's passing out. For a minute, it was very,
passing out.
Very judgmental.
Does it look like he's falling asleep?
Yeah.
Yes, it does. All
right. Well, don't wake him up. Okay. Don't wake him up.
I think that I think time is important, but at the same time, do we know the relative age of is it Dunstan or Dustin?
Dunstan.
Do we know the age we're dealing with here? He said he's had relationships in the past, but this is the one that really cracked him, right?
We met him.
Broke that heart.
And
too.
I would say he was probably somewhere between 27 and 33.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So also that's interesting as well, though, because he's probably getting into an area of his life where he feels like this could be it, right? That settle down phase potentially.
Buy some indoor
plants.
So,
I mean, I feel like the stakes are a little higher as we get a little older. When we're younger, I think we can accept that maybe there's, that's a big one, but I would say, join a cult if you can.
Don't do that.
That's what I would do. Well, it's there's a lot of support there, community support.
Right. This is why we need to tell people how the show goes.
There's a routine, weekly meetings, that type of thing. It's not bad.
We're not pro cult, John.
What does that even mean?
John, are you in a cult?
Of course. We're all in the cult of time.
Oh, here we
we're
go.
All,
okay.
We're all part of a cult in one way or another. I mean, people who follow this podcast, it's a cult of sorts, don't you think?
Right. Yeah. Rory, are you talking to somebody? A lot of visual gags. A lot of visual gags on our audio podcast. Rory, I don't know if you're muted or not, but if you... Yeah. No one's been able to hear you. I thought you were doing...
What? Like, what about now? How long was I muted?
I would
guess. This is the first we've heard of you the whole show.
2 minutes?
We've been guessing.
Really? I've said a lot of good stuff.
Oh. Yeah, nobody could hear you. I thought you were doing it.
Take it back.
I said so
button.
Many.
You have
good
to be
things.
Careful with the mute button. Like you have to be like this is how you do it.
Okay.
And then you put it back on like that real quick. You have to be good with it.
Let's see. Yeah, that's cool, John. Let's see how long yours stays that way without you doing anything to it. Okay. Good. how do you feel about that, Roar?
What?
John, come back.
So Jordan would have probably 32 points in that game.
Good. Good.
Here's what I think. Here's what I think, and this is my final answer. Dunstan, when it comes to a breakup like this, you've got to dive into self-care and take care of yourself. And I don't think there's a specific answer to what that needs to be or what that should be. It's all just whatever you think. But I think ultimately, no matter how you dice it, no matter what, it's just time. And I think it's time and making sure you're taking care of yourself. And if it is an extreme situation and you find yourself needing it, as Daniel and I also often say, therapy is always a great
100%
first step. It's always a great first thing to look into to see if that, you know, helps.
I don't know about that, Rory. I just found this article online and it says escaping the self-care cult. So for those listening, it is a website called Escaping the Self-Care Cult. So self-care itself is a cult.
Then we're
so be careful. It's pretty much cults everywhere. So Dan, I do win this conversation. It wasn't really a competition, but I'm afraid.
No, it usually is, but you did win.
Yeah.
Definitely is.
All right. Well, Dunstan, we wish you well. Sincerely.
Hang in there.
Your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk,
Rory Scovel, and special guest.
Okay.
John Doerr.
Oh, I didn't know that was me. I thought Ian Astbury was going to come out.
No.
Oh, my God.
No. All right. We'll
lead
be right
back. Lead singer of the cult. That would have been a great way to end that bit. Dare to dream. Dare to dream.
All right. We're back.
Guys.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for sticking with
us. And we're back.
If you missed out on being able to attend this live show, don't worry. There's going to be another one in November where you're going to announce that date. It should already be out, actually, by the time that you are hearing this. Hang out with us. We have a big, huge Pen Pals surprise for everybody in November. I don't know. Is there Thanksgiving gifts? Can that be a thing? But Rory and I are working on it right now, and it should.
I'm pretty excited about it.
Me
the surprise is... Surprises, like it's just a thing that'll. It's not like a surprise. It's not a surprise. I don't know what there's not another word for surprise. Not an adjacent word.
We have something we want to share with everybody.
You have a fun thing you'll get to see.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
You have a fun thing you'll get to see.
Should we go right in? Should we?
I say we go right in.
Okay.
Here we got John Doerr on the line. If you're just joining us, we have John Doerr on the line, joining us from Alaska.
All right.
He's in Juneau. Is that right, Juneau?
That is correct, Juneau, Alaska.
What's
and we
the temp
just mention
up there?
That one of your one of the listeners just pointed out that they were once in a cult and they plan on writing in about it. So I think this whole conversation was worth it.
Ooh,
that's what we do.
Great.
What
we do.
We well, John, you might not know this, but Rory and I currently have two cults going within this podcast.
Yeah,
mine is called F2F, and Rory's is called. Mm-hmm.
RRGT, Rip Roaring Good Time.
And mine's for face-to-face. You have to go through my cult before you can have an RRGT. You have to go F2F, which is face-to-face.
It's very complicated, and honestly, we don't even totally remember what a lot of the rules are.
Mm-mm.
So,
all right, here we go. Well,
sounds like you need a cult leader to figure to sort these
no,
things out.
No, that's us. We're just bad at it.
It is you, for sure.
Yeah. We're not good. We're not good at it.
The bad
we
cult
just
leader.
Keep, honestly, yeah. We just keep fucking floating down the river, and we just take things on as they come.
What are the best cults? What are the best cults? Like Heaven's Gate
basketball.
Cult? What's another good one? Basketball cult?
Tennis with friends.
Okay. Ready?
Kool-Aid. That was a little, the Jim Jones is a little heavy for me, but there was some travel involved. That's nice.
I mean, You never, but nobody came back.
That's a quote. That's a quote that comes out of nowhere.
Do you count it as travel if you never come back? I think people just moved. It was a lot of move. Everybody moved.
Running for office, and you not only reference Jim Jones, but you're like, hey, a lot of travel, a lot of travel.
All right, you ready for a letter?
Okay, sorry. Yeah, apologies. Yeah.
None needed.
I should do it.
This comes to us from somebody who's here tonight, so hopefully we'll get to say hi to them after we break it down. Great. Hey, friends. A few months after you wrote me back in 2019, my wife gave birth to a baby boy. And if he isn't just the coolest little guy, he just turned one last week, October 16th. If you recall, that makes 5 kids for our little blended family. If you're good at math, that's only half of 10. 10, Rory. 10. To kick your feet up. I got a referral from my doctor for that vasectomy, but for some reason I still haven't followed through with it. But this letter isn't about that. My wife and I met playing soccer. That was our number one hobby. Since getting pregnant and giving birth, my wife feels like her soccer playing days are behind her. Meanwhile, I continue with playing and coaching soccer, and I've been playing a lot of golf lately, all while taking appropriate COVID precautions. Yep, that'll derail the letter. My wife feels like she would like a new hobby, but has no idea what to do. If you were faced with trying to find a new hobby, how funny is that, that we've already talked about the hobby of indoor plants, preferably one you could share with a significant other, where would you begin? P.S. Look at what we made. His name is Finn. And there's a picture here, but as long as the little guy's still awake, I've already seen him at least once tonight. But before we bring in Corey, John Doerr, have you taken up a hobby late in life? And if you were going to take up a new one, what would it be?
Mm-hmm. Taking up a hobby late in life. I feel like it's tough to adopt a hobby late in life. I wonder.
A lot of people go in for collections. I feel like, I'm going to start collecting like beer steins.
No, because I'm a minimalist more so now than ever. I'm, like, get rid of everything. Yes, so I feel like collecting would be tough. You are? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think, I mean, I continue to play guitar really poorly, but I think that's the one distraction I love.
You can play songs and stuff, or you can play a couple songs?
I can play songs and stuff, like you said. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you can fiddle around a little bit, but then also you have some stuff.
Daniel's learning guitar.
I mean, I'm not bad. I mean, what I'll do a lot of the time is...
Lock the gates.
Like, I'll just do a lot of blues.
That's good. Like, that's real good.
Pentatonic blues scale.
That's real good.
Well, let me see. What are some other good hobbies?
What about you, Roar?
Like plants are a good one. You know, I mean, if you want plants as well.
I know. We know you're way into these. That's cute.
I just want to have the visual reference for everything we talk about.
Don't put that on yourself. It'll get way too hard. That plant looked like a Pixar
character. I have to clean up a plant that genuinely fell on the floor.
That's
I'm going to get shit if I don't.
Go ahead. Go ahead. For the listener at home, a lot of visual stuff tonight. Rory, would you consider taking on golf a late in life hobby?
I think so. I think it can be for some people. But I want to say I started painting again, and something I used to love doing art when I was younger. I used to love taking art classes. I would do art camp. And then I got away from it. I got away from it in a way that I feel like, you know, you do take some responsibility from getting away from it. But I think unfortunately, in the United States at least, a lot of art is just considered a class you take at school and you do as a kid. Right, and I don't think people see the therapeutic element and or the need for it, the brain's need for actually doing art and painting or drawing or doing anything creative like that. I got back into it and I've fucking love it. I love it so much. I love painting so much now that I would say that that's kind of something I've gotten into. I've made I made this thing.
It looks good. This and you thing. Showed me something you were working on the other day that I really liked a lot as well.
I've made some other stuff, but, I, Yeah, I don't know. I'm deep into it now in a way where I've just started painting stuff and giving it away to my siblings and some friends. And I making it and giving it away, I've learned, is really fun to do. Like picking someone that you're going to make a painting for and then giving your friends a painting is really fun to do. It's fun to have that goal of saying, oh, I'm painting something for Daniel, so I'm going to paint it and then I'll give it to him, and I'll give it to him when it's ready to give it to him. That's kind of a hobby that is pretty minimal. I mean, there are expenses in terms of buying what you're going to need to do it, but I think those expenses aren't necessarily high in the sense that the paint is going to last you a while. The brushes are going to be reused. The canvas is really your main purchase.
Yeah. I for me, it's like, I don't know that I really have a hobby. But, and we've joked around a lot about it. We've spent a lot of time promoting the show alone, for which we get no money for doing, but I've thought, like, oh, that would be something where I would gain a lot of knowledge as well as something fun that I could do in terms of like getting more into outdoor work and, or that, you know, survival skills and just kind of learning like how to be out in the nature and survive and live. So I feel like, I mean, I, you know, everything I do, a lot of it is like work, but I love that. I love my work. And I know you guys are obviously in the same boat as I am.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I've talked to you, Rory. I was like, man, I'd love to learn golf. That'd be something I'd be fun and get into. But maybe video games. I enjoy playing video. It's a good escape for me. Maybe that's a bit of a hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But
I don't think golf and video games are a good one to get into. They take a lot of time and they cost money. They distract you from...
Well, taking a lot of time is kind of good, right? Yeah. You want it to take a lot of time,
especially
right?
If you're going through a break.
Yeah. You want to take the time to get into...
John, you're really good at guitar.
That would be the Cult, by the way. Let's get back into that. Like, again, yeah. I think a good solution here is, like, cults have lots of hobbies, right? Like, there's definitely an activity center in whatever building you're going to visit.
For sure. Yeah. Maybe, like, maybe you make your own branding tools.
Well, hold on. This just occurred to me. Daniel, you're learning guitar right now.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the activity of learning the thing is the
Maybe I'll do a guitar lesson because I also noticed someone leaving a quote that said "fucking guitar players." So let's give them a little more.
Yeah, a lot of love in the chat.
But I think Dan, if you want to learn, you got to start with tuning. So let's start with this for the listeners.
That's okay. This is still an audio podcast.
Start with the E.
I suppose so.
Yes,
an instrument,
I know. But... and then you want to find the next one. And then you're basically going to work down.
I know, John.
And then what you're going to do is...
none of that
once you get it
right
set, Dan,
me.
It's simple. No. You just... and then you've got a tuned guitar that you play.
Yeah. You're going to
so
love the last
once
10
you get
minutes
that out of the way,
WTF.
Your podcast.
Down to... Oh.
You're learning guitar. That is a hobby.
Okay, I guess. Yeah.
I won't let you off the hook that that's not a hobby.
But I'll take it.
Outside of playing guitar, there must be something that you, and while being a minimalist, first off, I have a question. Do you go through the place, the house, constantly, and you're like trying to think what cannot be in the house, what can leave the house?
No, never, because I don't have a choice there. I live with my girlfriend and her daughter, so it's basically whatever she wants, she does. And she likes, you know, plants, but she also likes a clean place. So yeah, that all happens. I just keep kind of like everything that I need kind of on my nightstand. That's pretty much everything outside of my clothes. I have a laptop.
It's very laid back.
Well, you can also pick up and go at any moment, right? So that's important. So you got to have your go bag.
Okay.
And your,
don't live your life
passport.
Like
you got to get out of here.
Don't live your life. You don't need a passport. You're still in America.
Well, you need it.
Is anyone else picturing that John's nightstand just has a grab and go bag on top of it?
On it, too, which is cluttered for somebody who's a minimalist. You'd think he'd keep that nightstand very clean.
You think he wouldn't put it on the nightstand?
Should we bring in the person who wrote this letter?
I think so. Bring him in.
Corey,
bring him in.
Corey, are you out there? Turn your camera on, turn your mic on.
Is there anybody out there?
Hey, whoa, Finn got huge.
Yeah, full fam. Well, not the full fam.
No, yeah, this is not. That's a fifth of the fam.
Almost the fam.
Where's Finn? He already go to bed?
Yeah, it's 9:45 here.
I got to see him.
You wake him up. Wake him up.
Dude, take the camera in there and scare him.
He said no.
Do you guys are, you have five children or there are five total members of the family?
No, five kids. Seven total.
There are five kids, yeah.
Seven total.
Yeah, seven total. We've got a blended family. So you, two of the kids aren't here tonight.
You, everybody's chopped up.
Everybody's chopped up. It's a blended. They put them in the blender.
That's what that means, yes.
That's a classic bit, right?
A little
there.
Halloween joke.
What a little Halloween bit.
Okay, first of all, Corey.
Gruesome.
Do you want to get a vasectomy?
This gets right with the kids.
Hey, he gathered everybody around the camera and sent in the letter.
We
nothing more comical.
You know what? We should wake Finn up. Finn should hear this.
He should
wake him up.
That's right. That's
wake
what
him
I
up.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably a wise choice.
I don't.
Yeah.
Keep going. Get to 10. Write another letter.
10.
You can always reverse it.
You can reverse it.
No, you can't get rid of those kids. That's horrible.
You can't do that.
Oh, you
Corey.
Mean the vasectomy.
What are the kids' ages in this? In the five kids?
Well,
what is like the range here?
Two of them can tell us their
here?
Ages right now.
It'd be great if Finn was the oldest and had to go to bed. But anyway.
So the ages are 10, 10, 8, 7, and 1.
Wow. 10, 10, 8, 7, 1. And that's also your social.
Yeah.
That's right.
Also,
that's right.
It's a horrible way to count down a rocket ship. All right, you ready? 10,
10, 10, 8,
10, 7,
10,
10, 10. Wait,
sorry,
say?
Did you say
10?
They're already hung up. And did you say 10 twice? 10, 10,
7,
8, 7. Wait, no.
Wait, you skipped 9. 1, what?
No, the second 10 was 9.
Oh.
10,
you know what? Just
10,
punch
8,
it.
7,
we're going. Just punch it. We're going to the moon.
So, Corey, in your goal to become Rory as you play soccer and golf, he's
my understudy. Like, it's for a play. Like, if I get sick, Corey plays Rory.
He's so close. Okay.
So I'm just going to jump in for a moment. That's okay. Yes,
yeah.
You do the vasectomy. My question is, any regrets not doing it sooner?
Well, I think we should get Finn in here for that.
Finn, wake him up. Wake him up. Wake up, Finn.
All right.
Wake up, Finn.
What is it?
Don't go get him. Don't go get that baby.
Don't get him unless you want to,
this
and then
is,
that's fun.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my question
ahead,
was,
Daniel.
All right, so that was my first thing, because you were like, I got to get around to getting it at some point. And then my other thing was, so you consider yourself kind of like, I feel like soccer is probably such a part of your life. You correct me if I'm wrong, but that doesn't seem to me like it's your hobby. Like, I feel like that's a fabric of who, like, your whole life. Like, you've done it forever, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't start.
The second walk, I've been playing soccer.
Yeah, okay. So golf might be a hobby that you feel like you're adding in to get into your life.
How are you at golf? What's your handicap?
Here we go.
Talk to me.
John, we can leave if you want.
I don't play.
I'm listening.
I
had to
know what my handicap is.
Okay.
But I'm sure it's high.
Are you, where, okay. I love, God, I love that you're getting into golf. How much time have you been into golf?
Well, I've been
good question.
Playing since high school, but usually just a few times a year since, you know, everyone's been staying at home. The
right.
golf course has been open and, you know, they've made accommodations. All the old people aren't at the course, so I can
right.
play 18 holes no problem. I mean, probably play at least every other week now.
Oh, God.
Okay.
I love golf so much. John, do you like golf?
I do not, but what I'm curious about is this vasectomy. What does golf have to do with the vasectomy? I mean, I do like that you're getting out a couple times a year and playing golf.
Did you hear the letter?
It takes a couple strokes off your game.
I did, yeah. Yeah, in one way, in one. But I think that, okay. Well, I would reduce the golf.
No, he's not looking to reduce golf. He's talking about getting into hobbies.
A vasectomy, I know. So no, I would reduce the golf.
He's talking about hobbies, and vasectomies aren't hobbies, John.
Yes, after the vasectomy, reduce the golf. Hear me out here for a moment.
All right, go on. You don't want to
play golf right after a vasectomy. I'm not a doctor, but I can guarantee no doctor would say, right after surgery, go play golf. Is that what the two of you are saying right now?
No.
It's misinformation.
No.
Okay, this is going to be our longest show, but it's still the same amount of content.
I would do... I can give you more content. I would do... you got to get the vasectomy and call it a hobby. You know, just why not start talking about getting vasectomies as a hobby? You can be a hobbyist who
having right now
regular
a hobby,
obsess about it and go in every week, and then you'll be very unique. You'll eventually be on television. You can write a book about it. You know, it's like you've gotten how many vasectomies and you consider it a hobby. Why? I mean, I think that's a smart thing to do.
Right now for Corey, having children, you and your wife, that is your hobby. You love it.
Can I don't know what's a bit
to the point where it became a bit of an obsession.
I want Daniel like. Interrupts. He goes, guys, I don't know what a vasectomy is.
I don't. Wasn't it that show about aliens on ABC in the early 2000s?
To go back to discovering what like a hobby and what a hobby can be. I think it's a difficult answer, and I think it's difficult because as we age, we find ourselves interested in so many different things. I honestly didn't think I would ever actually be interested in golf, but now I'm obsessed with it. So I think in order to find a hobby, it sounds so cliche to just be like, well, you have to find something that you like. Like everybody knows that, but like, How do you actually find something that you like? And I think, and I actually love this answer. I think the answer is trial and error. I think you have to try a lot of stuff out. And I think you have to try stuff out that you didn't think you liked. You have to try stuff out that maybe you haven't done before. Because I think a lot of times when we look to see what a hobby is, we think about what we've already done or what we used to like or what we used to like to do. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's something we're interested in, because you would still be doing it if you liked it. You know, if you really love doing something, you'd still do it. And sometimes when you're kind of beyond doing something, like, look, I played soccer from 5 to 23 and then I've played pickup soccer since. But it's the reality of it is my body just can't do what it used to do. And it's also difficult to put together, you know, the opportunity to play golf, because it requires, depending on how you want to play it, it requires a lot of people. So you have to pivot. You have to adjust. You have to figure out, well, shit, what do I really enjoy doing? And to me, the beautiful thing about life is not having that answer and having to go find it and knowing that it's out there. There's something that you love, but the only way to find it is to do something you think you won't like, or do something that makes you uncomfortable, or say yes to a situation that ordinarily you wouldn't want to go and do. And you might find like, oh shit, I fucking love doing this, or I love whatever, and it could be anything.
But Corey, you kind of feel like golf is your thing already, right? Like you felt like if I'm, and I don't know your name, so I'm so sorry, Mrs. Butcher.
Corey.
No, I don't know her name. What is it?
Sorry about that.
Casey.
Okay, great to meet you. So are you still, as of the letter writing, like, are you still in a position of wanting to find a new hobby? Because you said that, like, or at least Corey said for you, if he can be so bold, that you feel like your soccer playing days might be behind you. And that was your guys's like thing, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of that should be like directed more like towards you, that Rory was saying, and maybe Rory was doing that. I don't know for sure. But like,
yeah.
What, like, have you tried out any stuff that you want to do?
No, not really. I mean, we have a lot of shit to do every day.
I know.
That too.
I mean, the other reality is you guys have quite a bit of a responsibility children. Because someone won't just go get the vasectomy we all talked about. But
it's important. Again,
yeah.
Good hobby.
And if that was his hobby, you would have a hobby by now. But I think you are in a it's not an easy position. And it also you have to think it's such a strange question for all of us to ask of ourselves. How do we want to entertain ourselves with the time that we have here? And what do we do with the time that we have here? And how do you do it? But I think I stick with the answer of you have to try new stuff, but it's not lost on me. You guys have a lot of responsibility that does keep you from being able to just willy-nilly fucking go rock climbing next weekend to see if you fucking like it. But you know, I think that you have to, I was doing jiu-jitsu for a little bit to see if I liked it. And that's definitely not my personality or my profile, but I fucking found that I really loved it and kind of regretted that I didn't try to wrestle in high school. But that's just kind of a random out of the blue thing that Ben Roy made me try, or he said he'd kill my family.
Yeah.
But I think my answer is an easy one if you can just walk out the door and go try something right now. But yeah, I know it is. It's definitely not easy with five kids. There's a balancing act to it. So you do got to pick and choose wisely what your risks are going to be in terms of trying something out for maybe one time, you know.
I think you have to force
these kids into family band practice.
I like that. Partridge Family.
Get a band. Yeah, but get a band.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
But I think you've given up on the idea of your own hobbies anyway. I mean, you got a little too self-indulgent with your wife, and you now have blended a family, and you have, I mean, now it's just you and the kids. So you have to give up this hope for your own personal thing. And remember, free will is also an illusion. I hope that is freeing.
Sounds to me like somebody's recruiting for a
you
cult.
You have no say in what's happening anyway. I'm
really pushing that cult life.
But again, not a bad idea Rory just came up with there. Would you say cult?
No, we didn't. That's not our idea. That's your idea, John.
I'm pretty sure Rory just brought that up. I wouldn't bring that up here. That's a little insensitive. But I think Rory makes a good point. Soccer's out of the question because that takes too much organization and too many people.
He's
and you need a referee and
soccer.
A ball. And
she's not.
I don't think you can do that. I think what you're going to do now is get a kayak and you're going to put it on a treadmill.
Yeah.
And you're going to see what you can do with that.
Mm-hmm.
That is you, your own time. You get up. Your hobbies are going to have to take place before the kids get up or after they go to bed. Right?
I'm not going to lie. The kayak on a treadmill, that is going to work the core, and that's good for you.
No,
I agree.
From what I hear, I don't work my core. I refuse.
I do. What area do you work the most again, Rory?
Just my right calf.
This is a whole
your
thing.
Your right calf. That's right. It's massive, right?
I have a massive right calf. I refuse to work out any other part of my body.
And Rory, what was the magazine that you were the cover boy for again?
Right Calf Magazine.
That's what I thought. I feel like I could have texted Rory that and I knew what he was going to say.
Calf a man.
I love Rory Scoville. Corey, I think your activities are going to have to take place in the morning or when they go to bed. But now the kids' ages are so staggered. I mean, you've really ruined any chance for a hobby anyway. I would just make your hobby loving your children and that beautiful Casey sitting next to you right now. That's your hobby now. And then if anyone asks you, just say what my hobby is. I love my family. Good night, everyone.
There you go.
Great being here. That was Pen Pals.
For the record,
join us next week. We'll
Corey
have a couple more letters.
Has a hobby.
Love you all.
He's been doing it, and that was more of a question for his wife and then a rhetorical or broad stroke question for everybody else in terms of what we do.
Art. He was doing
pretty
art.
Pretty sure Corey wants to know what hobby he should take on.
No, nope, he didn't.
Yeah.
He never asked that question.
Well, you I think gooses. We've learned a lot today about hobbies Corey could do.
Corey, Thanks for writing.
Want to work that right calf?
Casey, send us a letter for the Palpitentrion. Let us know if you get into like comic books or like competitive Jenga, or if you just start like crushing like solitaire boggle.
Yeah.
Let us.
Yeah, you know, fuck with boggle. You know, I do think in terms of finding a hobby and saying that you have to just try some stuff that you don't really know. I one idea to think about is communication with others of just seeing what they're into, and seeing what your friends do. One thing I think about all the time is I have a lot of friends who I don't know the extra thing that they do that wildly interests them. I feel like Nuno is constantly, there's something about Nuno that I'm always constantly like, oh, I didn't know you listened to them. I didn't know you liked that. But there's sometimes an answer that someone gives that sets you on a course to go, oh shit, maybe I should fucking try that out or look into it. So I think, you know, just starting with just basic communication with some people, it might present this thing you didn't even know was out there.
Go for it. Then
if that doesn't work, again, therapy. We want to always push therapy.
That's also communication. Therapy is communication as well. That could be a hobby.
True.
Right.
True.
Yeah.
Right. All right. We wish you well, Corey.
Yeah, Corey, good luck with your new hobby.
Thank you.
And get that vasectomy for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sincerely. Yeah. Your pen.
Bye, everyone. Say goodnight to Finn for us. Okay.
When I say goodnight to him,
it means crawl into his room when he can't see you and then just reach up and grab his leg and say, I'm a monster. Mm. Okay.
Sincerely.
Thanks, Corey. Good luck.
Your pen pals, Rory Scovel
and Daniel Van Kirk,
and special guest,
Jonathan David Dore. If it wasn't so long ago.